Oh snap, y'all. I have such an exciting company to tell y'all about. It's called Go Rings, and they do permanent jewelry, y'all. And I've even got like 2 permanent bracelets that I got from them already. Like, I'm obsessed, okay? It's an everyday jewelry brand that gives forward to support missions and ministries. Their jewelry is long lasting, it's waterproof, it's tarnish free, hyperallergenic. It won't be turning your wrist green out here. Plus, it's ethically made and real affordable too. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to GoRings.com and use my code Tony, T-O-N-I, to buy 2 items. And guess what? Oh, this is going to get real good. You get one free. That's right. Buy 2 items, get one free. On the website, you can also learn more about Go Rings' partnership program. If you've got a mission or a cause that you're really passionate about, Go Rings would love to partner with you. And they even offer 1-month partnerships for people fundraising to go and do what God has called them to do. That could be a mission trip or an adoption, an unpaid internship, or just to support like your favorite ministry. Go Rings partners drive sales for that 1 month and earn 30% of everything sold with their code. So grab yourself some jewelry. You'll never want to take off, I promise you. Go to GoRings.com. I know you'll love it. Hey fam, welcome to the Still Coloring Podcast with Tony Collier. I am your host, Tony Collier, and each series we lean into the stories of women and men that uncover their brokenness and practically show us all how they've rebuilt their lives with hope and grit. Come on, come on. Hey, what's up, you guys? It's Tony Collier. I just love y'all. I don't know. I just do. I wanted to say that because I love y'all so much. Well, you're listening to episode 6 of the Still Coloring Podcast Season 3, where we are talking about becoming more whole. Y'all, guess who we got on the podcast, bro? Michelle Williams. That is correct. Grammy Award winning recording artist and actress. And you know her because you know Destiny's Child with Kelly and Beyonce. She is incredible for all of her talents, but she is incredible today because she is talking with us about depression, about what it looks like to claw, physically claw your way out of bed and do the best that you can for the day. And sometimes that means just brushing your teeth and getting back in bed. Michelle gets raw. She gets honest. She is very funny. And I just think you're going to like this episode a whole bunch. So dive right on in. Tell somebody we've got the one and the only Michelle Williams on the Still Coloring Podcast. Check it out. Michelle is on the podcast, baby. I'm just yelling because I am excited. Okay. You're on the podcast. This is season 3. Our guests know this. We've been talking about this whole idea of becoming more whole. And what's great is before we hit record, we have already started talking about what it means to be more whole, if we actually can be whole while we're here on this earth, or if we're just striving. Okay. Okay. First of all, Michelle, how you doing, girl?
I am doing wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Screaming that whole time.
Listen. I was so ambitious when you were like, we're going to be in Austin, Texas. I know. And I was like, I'm coming.
I said, okay, girl.
Hey, babe, the way that schedule was looking, I was like,
I'm not going to be on the
week. I could have, Friday I can maybe be there.
But not in the middle of the week, not on a Wednesday.
I can't be there today. I could have even swung it tomorrow. But I'm like, daggum it. Austin, Texas is one of my favorite places.
We've
so I'm jealous
so much
that you get to be there.
We've eaten so much. I've had donuts and tacos and things that I just honestly shouldn't have because I still got a fupa from having this baby, but we out here, okay? We are out here. I'm glad that you're on the show. I've told guests, like, we have these bios and stuff. Maybe I'll do, like, an intro later on, but the truth is I think I want people to know. I remember maybe 4 years ago, I was scrolling through YouVersion because we were putting content on the Bible app. And I researched like depression. I was like, does anybody have anything on depression? And lo and freaking behold, there was you, okay? Pouring your heart out on somebody's couch. I don't know if it was yours or if it was staged, but I said, oh, this is wonderful. And I've just been kind of tracking along with your book, checking in, all the time. I'm like, okay, I see her. And then about a month ago, you came to our church and did this incredible conference with our mutual friend, Kate Warman, for Singles Christianity. And I'm in the back of this room like, oh, shoot. Like, this is a powerhouse. Like, I got to get her on the freaking podcast. This is amazing. What I love about your story, Michelle, and what you're about to bring to the table is you have seen so much. You've seen so much in the industry. You've seen so much in the church. You've seen so much in your own personal life, I'm sure. And yet you are still getting yourself up on stages, on podcasts, telling the story of redemption from depression, from strife, from striving. And I'm like, well, shoot, let's talk about it. Our people want it. And so we're talking about wholeness today, and I'm just hoping that you have a little something for us. How would you define wholeness? Can we be whole right now? Let's talk about it.
What does wholeness look like?
Yeah.
I think even now, I think I'm walking through a situation where wholeness is a daily thing, a journey thing. I feel more whole when I feel like maybe I don't respond to things the way I used to. Is wholeness and healing the same?
Yeah.
I believe I'm healing when I don't respond the same way, or something don't bother me as much, or I'm not triggered. Because to me, being triggered is an indication that you're not healed from something.
Uh-oh.
You need to unpack something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because we hurt people even when I was just triggered. Yeah, but you still hurt me. Yes, you're entitled to a response, but the excuse of I'm triggered. Okay, well, trigger is an indicator, and is to me that I need to be healed.
Yes.
I used to be so ashamed of triggers that I would suppress them. Again, triggers are okay. You are human.
Yeah.
The scent of something can trigger you. If it's the same cologne that your ex used to wear, you thought she was healed until you smelled
that Ralph Lauren. Okay.
Or that Calvin Klein Eternity. It's 2023. It's still one of my favorite fragrances ever.
Come on. And you're triggered.
But I just named a person. You can think you're walking in wholeness and healing, and then you smell something. You're like, ooh. So that lets you know, okay, I need to go to therapy and unpack this. And I need to also lay it at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, as well. So wholeness to me, I struggle with maybe even the possibility of wholeness, because I wonder, can a person actually be all the way whole? All right.
Come on.
This is won't be weird, but the only prop I would have.
We want it.
Y'all just go with me.
We're going to go with you every time.
All right. This is one of my favorite. It's a candle.
Okay.
But it's huge. And to me, it's almost the size of a pie. Is this like an 8-inch or 12-inch pie?
Big. Oh, my God. It is bigger than you. Okay. Wow. For those listening, I'm sorry you can't see it, but it's big.
As we know it. Don't pay attention to that, but that's how it was made. Imagine this is a whole pie. There's nothing in the circle like broken as far as you don't think. It don't look like I took a slice out of the pie. It might have looked like I took a spoon and dipped in the middle of the pie. But I'm just wondering, when you take a slice out of that pie, it's no longer a whole pie.
Mm.
When you keep taking slices out of it, it's like, okay, that's the third of the pie. That's 2/3 of the pie.
Yep.
But the whole pie was all 12 slices intact. So I asked this question, and obviously I don't know if I've got an answer. Or I'm open to even considering the fact, am I looking at wholeness in the wrong way?
Woo. You know, it's interesting because I love the pie analogy, because when I think about when we enter this earth, well, first of all, I like to eat. Okay. And all my listeners know that, baby. Okay. I be eating. Okay. I have no shame when it comes to eating. So I love the pie analogy for that. And also, when I think about us coming into this world, we come so innocent, right? Unblemished. We haven't been through a lot of stuff. All that we've done is lived comfortably in our mom's wombs, and then we've come out, and then it's almost like life takes all the slices away, one by one by one by one. We are in elementary and we get bullied. Or for some of us that have a really dark past, we have sexual abuse and manipulation when we're 8, 9, 10 years old. Then we try to date a little bit, or we find a great person that we love, and then we get our feelings hurt. Or we partying and we turking and drinking and smoking at the teen club. Dang it. I don't know why my parents let me go to the teen club, but they did. And now we're exposed to even more, and all these slices are taken. And so then the question is like, oh my gosh, if life is so broken, if our world is so broken and it's taking all these slices away from us, will we ever be whole again? What are we actually striving for? Right?
Okay. Hear me out, Tony.
I'm ready.
Why do I feel like I got revelation?
Because you probably did.
I feel like as you were talking about taking slices away,
yeah,
what fills it back up? What fills that container back up to make it whole? God was like, my love.
Me. Surprise. Okay.
So you can be whole.
Yep.
Get so full of me, and maybe you'll even know that you're bubbling over. You're so full of God's love. You're so full of the thing about the living water. You're so yep. full of it.
You have that your daily
it does
bread.
Overflow. Yes. It will overflow. You think Jesus gave me my answer?
I think right the now? Lord dropped it right here, both in our spirits, because, well, this is what people need to understand. It's like, I don't think we're really trying to become more holy ourselves. I think we're really trying to become more holy in Christ, because then it gets better. Then the pie tastes a little bit better, right? Because I don't want to be more of me, okay? Because I am wild, okay?
Listen, it's only better when it's sweet potato. don't
get pumpkin
pie.
Gonna say it, not pumpkin pie, okay? Because
but ain't God be like, but what if I want you to have pumpkin pie?
And so,
then
well,
God, if
want
you
that.
Want me to have it, no, because God, if you want me to have it, you think that. It's best for me, then I'll have to have it.
So yes, that's what I believe about wholeness. Okay, I want to jump to your book because I like the book because I think it's what every female wants. I think it's what every person that's going through healing, that's going through anxiety, depression wants. They just, we don't necessarily want to be perfect, I don't think. I think that's surface level. I think we've been pretending that we want perfection when really we want the freedom to be broken and for someone to look back and say, hey, are you okay? Mm. Like, I see you in your pain. I see you in your brokenness. I see you trying your best to be whole again after you've been broken down in so many ways. Why did you write this book? Where did that come from? This is just checking
Ooh,
in. Why
yes, ma'am. We'll go back to the year 2013 when I first acknowledged depression, that it was something that I had had. And the journalist was so surprised. I was promoting a Broadway musical that I was touring in, and somehow we got on the topic of depression, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've been dealing with it. I know what it's like to be in the bed for weeks at a time. And I'm just thinking, even the folks doing this interview now, who's recording this interview for us, I don't know what's going to be edited, what's going to be in or what's going to be out. So I was just like, I'm just talking. I'm like,
yeah,
surely it's not going to make the end part. It's not going to make the package.
Yeah. I'm just talking.
It did.
It did.
It did. And it went everywhere.
Really?
And I said, oh my God,
like,
what did
Williams,
I just do?
Battling with depression. Wow.
Yep. Yeah. What did I do? What were my friends and family going to think? I was thinking, what were my bandmates going to think of the ladies of Destiny Child? What were they going to think? Were they going to be like, wait a minute, you was depressed
Girl,
all this time?
We thought you were asleep.
I had all... Or I thought you were happy.
Yeah.
I thought you were good, right?
Fine. Wow.
So that was cool. Got through that. And so from that point on, especially the response that I was getting from men saying, thank you, I feel safe to talk about it, I'm going to go get therapy. I was like,
what?
All right. I'm going to keep talking about this. All right.
I love
fast. This. Yeah. Fast forward to so that was 2013. So from 2013 up until 2018, I'm advocating for mental health. I'm doing public speeches. I'm doing
that was
thing.
Before it was hot. You was talking about it. Yeah.
2013. I was like, well, it looks like people are blessed by it. Let me keep going.
Wow.
2018, I found myself having to do the same thing I tell people to do, get help. Because I had gotten help before in 2013.
Yeah.
But I think the type of help that I was getting in 2013 was reactive.
Yeah. It was on the defense, not the offense. Right.
It was like, ooh, so-and-so lied to me.
Yeah.
Let me go tell on them in therapy. So some of my sessions were tattletale sessions. Right.
You're like, ooh,
now
girl,
that I
you
look
did
back,
this to me.
Yeah. Now that I look back, wasn't unpacking things and we got to the root of certain things? Yeah.
That's good.
But I didn't pick up the phone until something happened. Right. 2018, I found myself, at the end of 2017, I could feel myself going down into a depression. But that's end of 2017, top of 2018, I am secretly in rehearsals for Coachella.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm like, I'm okay. And I can't say anything because I'm so excited to be reuniting with the girls.
Yeah.
This. I'm in an amazing relationship. So that's January of 2018. March of 2018, while I'm still in rehearsals, we rehearsed for 4 months, I get engaged in March. So I'm like, you for darn sure can't tell nobody you depressed.
Shut up. Everybody's excited, okay?
You just got engaged.
Wow.
April, Coachella hits. I do remember having like this panic attack and looking back. I remember Kelly was like, were you depressed back then? I said, yes, I was. And because it can look like so many things. Yep. Irritability can just look like stress and frustration because of such of a big project you got going on. By the time July 2018 hits, I'm walking myself into a treatment facility for depression, right? And I'm hoping no one knows who I am. And I literally check in.
Yeah.
And few days later, I get a phone call from my manager saying, hey, TMZ knows where you are, or they got wind that you're in a treatment facility for depression. Do you want us to respond? And I was like, well, we got to respond because they know. Yeah. And I no shade to TMZ. I wonder, would they have put out the information without our confirmation that that's where I was? So it was crafting the statement.
Yeah.
And it was me saying, let me tell my story before someone else does.
Yeah.
So we put out the statement.
Wow.
Mind you, I'm in a hospital. I don't have my phone. I don't have my purse. Matter of fact, I have people cracking up, as I said in the at the conference the other week.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I waxed my upper lip. I know I did.
Oh, good Lord. Good Lord, because you got to just.
I didn't care. I needed help. So checking in was even birthed from that hospital stay of journaling and taking the power back in checking in. Mm. There can be no shame in how getting free from depression or how getting real about my story of depression can help someone else.
Come on.
You know, so it was also taking the power back into those words, checking in.
Yeah.
To not have any shame. Mm. What was used to maybe humiliate me or make fun of the situation.
Oh, that's good.
Because that's why it ain't your business to tell my business.
It's not. It is not. It will never be. Okay.
And we have made there. It is a $1 billion industry. I don't care what you call it. Tabloid is a $1 billion industry of telling other people's business. So that's how it was. That's how checking in was birthed.
I gotta tell you this, man. I just don't know how many people, or I don't know if you know how many people get set free by the honesty behind stories like this. And I'm sure you've experienced it as you toured the book and you wrote and everyone's like, oh my gosh, you changed my life. And these men are reaching out to you. And I even think about the person that's listening and watching this right now. And they're just like, oh my goodness. Like, I grew up and was in the teen club listening to Michelle Williams. And she is being so gut level honest about what she's gone through. But here's what's beautiful about your story. You didn't just go through it one time. You went through it again. And I think almost even more shame comes when you, quote unquote, relapse back into the same thing that you got caught up in, right?
You feel so much shame. You beat yourself up, maybe there are times you got to go through it more than once until you get it. And so this time, going through therapy was not to tell on somebody else. Uh-huh. It was to almost maybe tell on me.
My own self.
And why did I feel like I couldn't tell anybody that I was struggling? I had safe people in my circle that I could have told it to.
Yep.
But it was me thinking, well, don't tell them because, well, don't tell Kelly just had a baby. Don't be a Debbie Downer on her celebratory moment.
Yep.
Just be grateful. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. Mm. But what I learned was people who are, you're in your 30s, between 20s and 40s, probably listening to this, probably in your 50s listening to this. I'm widening your demographic age.
Come on, let's do it. We got a lot of people up in here. Yes.
And so realizing that, discovering my depression started around the age of the 7th grade.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
So let me tell you why in 2018 I didn't tell anybody. Because when you grow up not being able to tell anybody, my family is known as they are great in faith, bishops, pastors, elders, medical doctors. So
yeah,
just sweep it under the rug. Keep that image, you know, good. Our church, the church I attended and served in, a great ministry. So I learned to suppress it.
Yep.
And I learned to protect even my parents and protecting family. So from seventh grade up until that time, you kind of learn to suppress things. And that's why I didn't say anything.
It's and that's the thing. That's what's so important about going back into your story in childhood. And honestly, it's such an indicator to people who do their real work. Because they come around and say, oh, the reason why I'm this way as an adult, the reason why when I get into an argument with my boyfriend, fiance, husband, whoever, and I respond in this way, it makes me think of something that happened when I was 13 years old, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's how you know people doing their work, because you go back into your childhood and you start to access the things that shaped you, that made you respond in ways as an adult. And I just... this is how you know you're doing your work, is what I'm trying to tell the people, okay? When you can go back and understand that the totality of who you are today is really just breadcrumbs of who you were as a child and what you were trying to do. Hey fam, here's a really cool thing that maybe many of you don't know about me. I got my master's degree in biblical and theological studies from Denver Seminary. I, for real y'all, waddled myself across the stage at 8 months pregnant with my son Sammy after 3 years of going deep into the scripture and understanding God's word even more. I remember when I decided to go to seminary, and I had been in years and years of ministry and being a mom and all the other things, and I just felt the Lord say, hey, it's time to go deep, not wide, with my word and with understanding who I am through my word. I love Denver Seminary, y'all. I mean, I'm like its biggest fan, for real, because for more than 70 years, Denver has prepared and sent thousands of graduates into the world. They've equipped people. They've challenged people both personally and educationally. They have a heart for the gospel and devotion to scholarly excellence. Like, I can personally say this is all so true. Denver Seminary's community is represented by more than 50 denominations, y'all, and it's uniquely known for demonstrating steadfast dedication to the unchanging foundations of biblical faith. They offer several fully accredited degree options to students who are fully online, or you can do some on-campus stuff or a blended delivery model. I mean, it's just really, really cool. And it's honestly only a snapshot of why so many people attend Denver Seminary. So here's what I want you to do. If you've ever thought about studying God's word more intently, about going to seminary, I want you to head on over to denverseminary.edu/coloring. All right, I'm gonna say that one more time for the people in the back. denverseminary.edu/coloring. Check it out. Let me know what you think. And of course, like, DM me, send me an email, ask me any questions about seminary. I got you. Hey fam, let me just remind you that my mission through this podcast is to help people find healing from brokenness. So I'm all about pointing you to resources that can help you take those steps. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about a 40-day devotional from Brittany Dixon called Thriving in the Thorns. Ooh, what a title, right? Thriving in the Thorns, Restoring Hope and Faith for Women. As Jesus journeyed in the wilderness for 40 days, Thriving in Thorns will help you to journey through your own personal wilderness. Each day of the devotional utilizes like an inductive study of scripture, a perspective of hope, and a reflective question for you to journal. In John 10:10, Jesus says that he has come so that we may have life and have it in abundance. Not a little bit, not a percentage, abundance. He came to save and restore humanity, okay? What a beautiful, grace-filled invitation we have. Because of Jesus, we are never without hope, no matter what wilderness we walk through. So learn more about the study, go on your own 40-day journey, visit courageousradiance.com/thrivinginthethorns. This is the other thing I want to highlight that you said. You started to journal. I think the people have been sleeping on journaling. Let me just say that. Okay. I think the people have been asleep, both men and women, on the power of naming a thing, of getting it out, of releasing it. How did journaling change the game for you when it came to depression?
Journaling is so important.
Yeah.
it's I it and it I think it's a conduit of healing, you know, because if biblically it's telling us to write it out, write the vision out, write it. Speak things. So my thing was, be real about how you're feeling.
Yep.
And I feel like when I write things down, I can process it. I'll write down a dream and get an interpretation of it while I'm writing it for some reason.
It's
amazing. And then how you can go back. I kind of don't want to open up that journal.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, ooh,
I know. I'm like,
I was there. Ooh, I was that. You know, it's scary, but I had to go, you know, and get that journal out when I started writing, when I started actually like doing the book. And it's like, oh my gosh. But also, let's not cringe so much.
Okay.
Let's look when you included God in it.
Come on, Daddy God.
How he brought you in, how far you've come. So you can kind of look back, be like, yeah, that was me. That was a part of my story.
Okay. You know,
that's a part of my story.
I think I'm in Deuteronomy 10 or 11. Don't quote me on that. But Moses talks about this idea of what to do with our fear. And I mean, it could be fear of what will people think about me if I name this thing, if this comes out, will people book me still? Will people appreciate me still? Will they think I'm too weak to do,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and Moses says it's remembrance. It is what really attacks fear is remembering what you've already been through. And that gives you the bravery to keep going. And I love that I mean, you probably wouldn't have chose it, but when a publisher reached out and you're like, I got to write this book, they're like, you probably got to go back and look at some of the things you wrote. You did the hard work of remembering, of going back into your journal and looking at those moments in the rehabilitation center. I'm sure in your bedroom at times, like pouring your heart out, all these triggered thoughts. And you remembered, and it probably gave you the fortitude that you needed to finish and write a book and tell people all your business, okay? And
absolutely.
I just love that. Oh, I just love that so much.
Thank you,
It's
Tony.
Beautiful. Not a lot of people doing this work, okay?
But you know what? You got to do the work.
Yeah.
You got to do the work because let's keep it real. Maybe folks ain't fooling with you because you ain't doing the work. Especially if I'm doing the work.
Oh,
if I'm doing the work.
Well, you can smell it, can't you? You can smell somebody not doing their work in your life.
If I'm doing the work, you want me to, like, I'm with long suffering and perseverance, but bruh, like, if I'm doing the work and you're not.
And you're not.
Brunch hits different.
Well, they're unsafe.
It hits, because what we going to talk about?
What we going to talk about? You still mad at your ex from 10 years ago? So you gonna walk around being bitter, and I'm supposed to waste my healing, all this money I've invested on this counselor, on you. And listen, that'll preach to somebody, because there may be some people listening right now that's like, man, I wonder why I'm not getting invited to this circle. I see my friend is doing her work or his work, and he's in counseling and he's doing his thing, and I wonder why I'm not getting invited to Thanksgiving anymore. I wonder why I'm not getting invited to the football games and the basketball games anymore. And it may just be because toxicity leaks and healthy people are running away from leakages.
Running away from it. And now, just because you're healed don't mean you're superior
because
you're doing the work don't mean you're better
right.
than but you relationships. I was looking at something when you're doing the healing,
yeah,
relationships do kind of
shift. Mm-hmm.
Vision. Maybe it was a Jerry Flowers. It was somebody. Maybe relationship shift. Your vision changes.
Yep. Red flags or yellow flags. What used to be yellow flags turned into red flags. When you heal, you have something to protect. My healing, like my healing and my toxicity.
Because it cost.
It cost me.
Not only do it cost me per session, but it cost my heart.
I'm crying in counseling. You know how much mascara I've wasted?
Okay. The damage, the healing cost. Not only does it cost to walk with Jesus, when I say cost, because you're giving up certain things to walk this walk. But if, but to me, healing costs because you might have to sacrifice that toxic relationship, even though they so fine.
They so cute. They gave me
They
some
cute,
flowers that one
you
time.
know. Y'all have a healthy few days together, and
Not
then
a
what
healthy few days. Not just a healthy few
do?
days.
That's the cycle. I know what that
It is
cycle
a
is. I've been in
cycle.
that cycle. You have a healthy few days, then bomb.
Boom.
And it just boom, it destroys the healthy days you had, right? I get it. And it you just you're just in a cycle. You're just in a cycle. And I just encourage, but I know what fear has you staying in things you shouldn't be in. And fear can also keep you from walking in things you should walk into.
Come on. Okay, listen, you know what my counselor told me once? I'm about to put all my business out there. I was in a toxic relationship, toxic marriage, all the things. She said, you would choose agony over loneliness. You would choose it. You would decide to stay in a relationship and be in agonizing pain, your soul being ejected from your body, you being demeaned, called out your name because you're so afraid of being lonely. And I
And
said,
you're
well,
afraid
sis,
of being
that's
lonely, and
disrespectful.
you're, and we don't want to be uncomfortable for those few minutes,
No, we don't want to.
few
Okay, well, I'm gonna be
days, few months.
lonely. Now, why do you say a few? Because it really don't last always.
When you look back, it don't.
It
If
doesn't.
you want to be intentional, and if you want to be intentional by saying, Lord, what is it about me that tolerated it?
Now that's awareness. See, that's a
Because
whole
that's
nother level.
because my therapist, the very first therapist I had in my hometown,
That's good.
we had she once she got tired of me telling on people, she
She
was
said,
like,
okay,
well,
Michelle.
you're tolerating it.
Why?
Why?
But we don't want to do that though. We don't want to go. We want to go into counseling. We want to tell on everybody else. Look at what they did to me. Look at what they. I hear this all the time. I keep getting into these situations with these people, these same types of people. What is it in you that is attracting those types of people? And what is it in
Right.
you that's keeping you there?
And by the way, the what is in you ain't always nothing bad. It's not always lust or
Yeah.
about, it's unmet needs.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's unmet needs. What is it in you? It's longings, it's unmet needs. You want affection, you want affirmation, you want security, you want respect, you want comfort. Those are some those are some needs that
And they're
you want
valid and they're
met.
not bad. That's
So
really
not
good.
only are those needs that I would want met, so take that, take those unmet needs, about 10 of them that I know of.
Okay.
Imagine all of those 10, they're a slice of a pie.
Oh, we back to the
Let's go
pie,
back. We're
baby.
going back to that wholeness, right?
Yes.
And so if, when you didn't get an affirmation or affection as a child, okay, you're an adult now. God got to fill that space.
Until you can, oh, see, somebody is listening today that's like, I want to become more whole. I've got some things missing. And maybe it's not at all that you haven't been going to counseling. It's that you've been filling these things with the wrong people and the wrong things. You're on this health journey, but you still are filling these empty spaces with toxicity, with idols, with addictions, with shopping. I'm in somebody's business with essential oils. I don't know what you're feeling it with. I don't know. Excessive working out, it, whatever your
Add to
thing is.
cart, add to cart.
Okay. You're
I know when
filling.
I'm anxious, I start
I
shopping.
shop because it makes me feel secure. I'm like, I just need more stuff to surround me and make me feel more secure that I have money, that I have things around me. That's how I
No.
feel. Okay, I'm telling all my business. But I think someone needs to recognize because there's someone that's listening that's saying, okay, I haven't gone to counseling. I need to go do my work to become more whole. There's someone that's listening that's saying, no, I'm going to do my work, but for some reason I'm still feeling so empty. And I think what's happening is not that you feel empty, it's that those empty places are being filled with the wrong things, with fake peace, with fake and temporary relief. And what you really need is the everlasting presence of God, who's omniscient and omnipresence and can fill and, like you said, overflow those areas until you're bubbling over. Sweet little sweet potato pie. Boom.
Listen, and by the way, I discovered what my unmet needs were at a retreat, and it was separate from my hospital stay.
Oh, that's
And
good.
it changed my life. So
Yes.
I'm always shouting, what were your what are the unmet needs that you're looking for other people or other things to fill? Because as an adult, when those needs weren't met as a child, as an adult, they start manifesting, the symptoms start coming out in things. So I just want to encourage people, you're not a bad person
Yep.
for desiring companionship, friendship, and
Yep.
connection. We are made for a connection, even
Yeah, we
though
are.
introverts, ambiverts like me are like, I got to connect with people.
Like, don't look at me. Don't make eye contact.
You know what I mean? But yes, we
Yeah.
are designed for connection. And so nothing is wrong with that desire.
That's
And I just want to
good.
encourage you, you're not a bad person,
Nope.
you know,
That's
but
so
we
good.
just have to be careful of the decisions we make out of those desires.
Hey, I just want to give a quick shout out to my people over at Pine Cove Summer Camps. They have been supporting the Still Coloring podcast. And I mean, these guys have been in business, y'all, for over 50 years. They have so much experience when it comes to camp ministry. And let me tell you this, I got super excited, like super excited, because they finally brought their overnight youth camp to Georgia, the Springs. Pine Cove Springs is for kids, I think like 3rd through the 9th grade. And what's exciting about that for our family is that our daughter Dylan is officially in the 3rd grade. She's 8 years old. She's a spunky little strong-willed girl, and she is officially going to summer camp this summer at Pine Cove Springs. We are beyond excited. We are such big fans of the camp. The truth is, the reason why we're big fans is because I've got an extroverted daughter who loves Jesus, and she needs more environments, more people around her that love Jesus too, that are fun and engaging and safe, because y'all know we are all about safe places. And Pine Cove Camps offers really, really safe places. And then they have incredible counselors that aren't just like sitting on the sidelines being all weird, but they're engaging with the campers. And I can't wait for Dylan to get back and be like, I have a new best friend. I have a new mentor. I have someone else in my life outside of you, Mom, who's telling me that Christ is amazing and that I'm amazing and that he loves me very, very much. And I want to invite you to start a brand new tradition for your own children or your child at Pine Cove Springs this summer. So all you got to do is just go to pinecove.com. You can use my special code. It's Tony250, T-O-N-I 250, for $250 off for first-time overnight youth camp registration for any of Pine Cove camp locations. I hope, maybe, I don't know, that we'll see each other there and we'll get excited about our kids going to camp. Yeah. Hey, I want you to lean into this. Have you ever asked questions like, why am I going through this? What if this never gets better? Does God really care about me? Well, listen, when life falls apart, it's real easy to feel alone and slip into despair, disillusioned with God, hopeless about the future, and doubting your faith. Listen, I want to tell you about a resource, because y'all know how I am. I believe that God is our ultimate source, but we gotta tap into resources to help us get through this crazy, broken, imperfect world and life that we live. I want to encourage you to check out this new 7-session study called Desperate for Hope: Questions We Ask God in Suffering, Loss, and Longing. It's written by my girl, Vanitha Reisner. Vanitha tackles the hard questions and offers a scriptural framework to help you find hope in your pain. And y'all know, I feel like there's hope in pain. Trust me when I say she will be a gracious guide through this difficult topic, walking with you as you meet women in the Bible who suffered loss and sharing her own experience of longing and grief. In the end, after you finish all of the sessions, you'll find that the answers to your deepest questions can be found in the character, the goodness, and the sovereignty of God. To learn more about this 7-session Bible study, visit lifeway.com/desperateforhope. I think I want you to just get real intimate with the person who's listening, who is maybe in depression for the first time. They're assuming it's depression. Maybe for the person that it has come up again. And they're like, I want to be whole. Like, I really do. I want to lean in on God. But right now, all I can do is maybe go to the bathroom. Like, I can only just get up from my bed, go to the bathroom, and come back. What would you say to them right now?
My uncle, who was our family doctor, told me he said, if all you can do is get up and brush your teeth, and maybe you have to get back in the bed.
Oh.
So I literally did that, where I would brush my teeth and get back in the bed. Then when I would brush my teeth, I noticed the shower was behind me. Get in the shower now. You might not do it on day one.
Yeah.
Okay, now you brush your teeth, you got in the shower, put your lotion on.
Put your lotion on.
Maybe make your, yeah, we don't want to be ashy and depressed.
No, we can't
depression,
be crusty.
Let me tell you something about depression. It's a thief. It robs you of joy, productivity, and cleanliness because you don't want to bathe.
And hygiene, okay?
I get it. I've been there, right?
Yeah.
So then what I noticed was, instead of getting back in the bed, I would make my bed. And you see, I love pillows. I would put all 80 pillows back on the bed.
Yeah.
Because, and then I would go sit on the sofa and maybe watch TV. I then started making oatmeal. My uncle said, baby girl, you getting a little thin. Because when I'm depressed, it affects my appetite.
Yep, 100%.
I can't eat. So he was like, you got to at least eat a bowl of oatmeal. So I would go and make my bowl of oatmeal. I probably didn't do it on the first day. Now, I didn't do all those steps in the first day. But like I said, I noticed when I would brush my teeth, I did it on. Now, make your bed. Go outside.
Yeah.
If you don't make your bed, can you go outside and get the mail?
Okay.
Right? Because what happens is what overwhelms a person with depression, you start thinking about what all you got to do that day.
Yep. Thinking you just got to go fully in.
It can't, it's no longer one day at a time with some people. It's 1 second at a time.
It's one
chore at a time. Maybe you didn't wash the dishes. Okay, so what if you wash the dishes? Let them air dry. Stack them later, right? Just do, it's those, and before you know it, you're back into a rhythm, doing more. So I have been there where it literally was a minute at a time. It was a second at a time.
That's so good, Michelle. Oh,
right?
I love that. And I think that's going to set someone free today because we want everything now and all of it. We live in that society. We want all of it right now. I want the prize. I want all the followers. I want the whole patty pie.
You better bring my pie whole. Don't tell me. You know what? I just cut a slice of the pie I made you because I wanted to taste it.
You should have made your own pie. You should have made your own pie. I want the whole thing. But maybe it's okay to start with a slice. Maybe that's what...
Okay, Tony. I'm a friend that's going to be like, okay, Tony.
All right, then. But I love
that.
And that's okay.
Be that friend. You might be that pessimistic friend right now. And optimism will come later.
Yeah.
But just do it, and advice for the caregiver of somebody with depression, take care of you too.
Yep. Don't pour out of an empty cup. You're going to be looking crazy.
Take care of you. Set some boundaries. Keep encouraging that friend go by every now and then, check on them. And I would tell people I didn't have the strength to answer a lot of text messages, but keep sending them.
I see them.
That person that's depressed will, they see them, they just don't have the strength to type a message right now. Keep praying. I promise you, your work as a caregiver, as
that's
a friend,
good.
Spouse of someone with depression, it's working.
That's so good. Okay, one last thing. I would like for you to pray. This is a thing that we do on the podcast. I'm just trying to feel from God on this one. Because yes, I want you to pray for the person that's going through depression, that's going through it again, that's feeling that shame. But I also think that maybe you should pray for the woman or man like you who didn't let it stop you, who continues to get up on podcasts, on stages and talk about the thing. I want you to pray for their strength to let God continue to use their redeemed story to help other people get out of it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray.
Yeah. Oh God, we thank you so much for this time.
Yeah.
We thank you so much for this podcast that is reaching millions of people through stories of transparency and authenticity. God, we thank you for your redeeming power. Mm. God, I'm so thankful for the people out here who are doing the work, who are overcoming various things. And God, we thank you that you keep depositing in them vitality so that they can continue to be resilient.
Yeah.
God, we thank you for the person that's doing the work that, you know, they're struggling. Should I tell my story? And God, we just thank you that when one person tells their story, they help break free at least one person.
Yeah.
And God, we thank you that you are arresting thoughts of the enemy of a person who maybe even be feeling like, why me? My whole family has struggled with depression, and I'm the only one that seems like I'm doing the work. God, we pray that they continue to stay encouraged, stay on the field, stay before you. Lord, that's the key to all of our wholeness and healing, is that we don't have any shame of laying it all at your feet. God, I thank you that that's what you've been putting on my heart, is Tanitra Michelle Williams, keep bringing it to me.
Yeah.
Keep bringing it to me. Keep bringing it. Keep bringing it to God, my brother. Keep bringing it to God, my sister. God, we thank you for salvation and that your blood is enough.
Yeah.
Jesus, you are enough. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for healing. We thank you for all the testimonies of people overcoming. And God, we even thank you for that person that's saying, Tony, Michelle, I'm going to take that one step. And it's going to be the one step of many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was so sweet. I really enjoyed that prayer. And I enjoyed you.
Aww.
I did. I was like, oh, I just thought about the person that's just listening. That's like, I'm going to get up tomorrow and brush my teeth.
Come.
You know?
No more days of stinky breath.
No more stinky breath.
The devil has had enough of your days. Okay? Jesus wants you to come to prayer with fresh breath.
With the Colgate.
Jesus is tired of us coming to him with stinky breath. I'm just playing. He's not tired.
He doesn't care. He actually doesn't care. Okay?
But your husband might be tired.
But maybe your voodoo. Okay? Thanks for being on, Michelle. I appreciate
you. Thank you for having me. I'll see you later.
I will see you later.
Hey, I just want to thank you so much for listening to the Still Coloring Podcast with Tony Collier. I am so absolutely grateful to hold the stories of brokenness that we get to share with you, and the honor that it is to point you to both resources and ultimately to our source, Jesus Christ. If you can't get enough of the show, we'd love for you to leave a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And spread the word. If you've got someone in your life who you think would benefit from this show, don't keep it from them. And if Instagram is your thing, I want you to meet me there, at Tony J. Collier. I'm a little wild, so buckle up. We'll see you next time as we all lean into the stories that help us claim hope and grit over our own lives. See you soon. The Still Coloring Podcast is a production of Ivy Media Podcasts. It's produced by me, Tony Collier, and edited by Lindsay Barnett. The music is by my sweet husband, Sam Collier, of A Greater Story Ministries and Story Church. The artwork, all of the graphics, and the beautiful things that you see marketing the podcast is by Natalie Maxey of Nueva Creative. The show note illustrations, which you have to download on my site, are by Emily Mills of Sketch Academy. And I'm your host, Tony. And I want to remind you of this. You can heal and find hope and grit right in the middle of your valley. Love you.